Here, Billy Cowder sings a song that was popular after Garfield's assassination. He tells of how and why he came west with his family in 1890 and talks about some of his neighbors. He also explains some of the difficulties that a homesteader could encounter.
You must have seen or heard of quite a few presidential assassinations, haven't you, over the years?
Have seen what?
Well, have been around during quite a few different presidential assassinations?
Oh, yes.
Which ones do you remember?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe I understand you.
Well, do you remember when McKinley got assassinated?
Oh, yes, it's awful. Oh, I remember when is that first president? Lincoln was the first one that was shot.
Well, you weren't born yet when Lincoln was shot, were you?
No, I wasn't born then, but I was the next one. Garfield?
Oh, right, Garfield, uh-huh. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. James A. Garfield. There's a song went. How was that now? In my saddest day, my name appears. My name is Charles Cattell. My name I'll never deny. For the murder of James A. Garfield, I am condemned to die.
Was that song popular shortly after Garfield's murder? Did it take a long time? Where were you when Garfield was murdered?
We were living then in Missouri. In the northeast corner. Right, almost the mouth to Des Moines.
Before Missouri, you lived in Illinois, didn't you?
I was born in Illinois, yes.
Where in Illinois?
In Adams County, not very far from Quincy.
Did your father know Abe Lincoln, or did he know him when he was an Illinois politician instead of a president? How did he know him?
Well, principally by his speeches, you know. And I think he seen him, and when Lincoln first called for the first 75,000 men.
Oh, yeah.
A brother of father's, a younger couple of years than father, he went on that call for the first 75,000. Father didn't go, but he went, a brother.
Did your father end up fighting in the Civil War?
Did he what?
Did he fight in the Civil War?
But I forget who he was with now. He had I don't know what you would call it, but it was about that long, a paper. The names, you know, where they went throughout the country they went through, the companies they'd been taken, the rebels, and all them, that was all named on that. But we lost it. I don't know what become of it.
Well, was your father married before he went off to the Civil War?
No.
After he came back, he married your mother and they decided to move out west?
He married, I think it was in 1867, I think. I was born in the last month of the year, 1868.
Well, how old were you when your family made the move west?
How old I was?
Yes.
That was in 18. We come west in 1890, and I was just 21.
Why did you decide to move west?
Father had an awful poor heart. And the doctor told him that if he'd go west and get among the pines, that he would live 10 years longer. And we come in 1890, and he died in 1900. Yes, he had an awful weak heart.
Were there a lot of people coming west at that time?
Oh my gosh, the train, I think there was 18 cars, and they were all full. Emigrant trains. We come on an emigrant ticket. That is, there was a reduced rate. It began on 17th of March, on St. Patrick's Day. And we bought our ticket the 17th day of March, and we come west.
How long did it take on the train?
Well, we left on Monday. That was St. Patrick's Day. It was on Monday that year, and we left, and I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, we got into Walla Walla. That's when we bought a ticket for Walla Walla. We had a layover there at Pocatello. There was a train wreck the track was all tore up, and we had to wait till they fixed that. It took about all day.
How did you get from Walla Walla to where you ended up on Cedar Creek?
How was that?
How did you get from Walla Walla to Cedar Creek?
We landed in Walla Walla about the 23rd or 4th of March. And I worked around there. The crops was all in. You couldn't work on a farm. But I did work for a farmer too, that is a summer farmer. Then we moved all up to Dayton, and Father and I both worked in the sawmill there at Dayton, up to Tusha, about 12, 14 miles.
Up the what? Up the what? You said up to something about 12 or 14?
Up to Tusha River.
Oh.
Yes. It runs through Dayton and down, I don't know where it comes out of that, but I don't know whether it empties into the Snake or into the Columbia.
Well, how long did you work there in that sawmill?
We started in there. What time? Must have been in June when we went to work there in that sawmill. We worked there all fall, and that winter we cut saw logs and made cordwood and so on. And in the spring then, about June, I think in the spring we worked for that Flume company.
The Flume company?
Mm-hmm, Flume. They built a flume that run from the sawmill down to Dayton. It's about 15 miles. And we helped build that flume. And they flumed lumber down and cordwood. Made quite a lot of cordwood up there.
How much did you get paid for that sort of work?
We got $30 a month in the mill for working, and they paid us a dollar when the mill wasn't working and was making cordwood. Well, we got a dollar a cord. We bored ourselves. I forget. It was $30 in board when we worked in the mill. Or they allowed us so much when we boarded ourselves. And I forget how it was.
There was no union activity in the mills or anything in those days, was there?
There was what?
There was no union activity in the mills in those days, was there?
I didn't hear of any. No. We got, come up to about $1.15 a day, was $30 a month, and board, and we had to work 11 hours.
Were you pretty satisfied with that?
How's that?
Were you pretty satisfied with that?
Well, we had to be. We either had to work or starve. No, we wasn't satisfied with that, but we had to be.
When did you move up into the Cedar Creek country?
1891.
And you took up a homestead then, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Father took up a homestead there, right in the neighborhood. It wasn't much of a... It was a nice piece of land. But it wasn't much. It's only about 40 acres. And then I took up 160, not far from that. But my gosh, it was... heavily timbered.
What was the land like around there then?
What was what?
What was the land like then?
The land?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you got any in cultivation, it produced good. But the job getting it in the cultivation. The big pines on there. Gosh, we cut down them pine trees. Oh, big, great, tall trees. Saw them up into about 10 or 12 foot logs. Roll them together and make a big pile and burn it.
Was there a lot of underbrush in the forest in those days?
In some places, there was an awful lot. And it was just pretty hard to worker too is called a service, you know. Service very.
About how long would it take you to break in some land? How long did you have to work on your homestead place until it was pretty comfortable?
Well, we had to work, I guess, 4 or 5 years before we got it so we could help ourselves pretty good. Of course, we got small patches in, had pretty good gardens, and raised all our vegetables.
Was it hard work proving up on a homestead?
I'll say it was. I'd never do it over again.
What kinds of things did you have to do to prove up?
Well, we had to live 5 years on the place. And we had to have so much in cultivation. I forget how that was. I think it required a continuous residence, but I ain't sure, but I kind of think it did.
Did you build yourself a little cabin there on the land, or what?
To live on?
Yes.
Yes, we built us a log house with 3 rooms in it, a living room and 2 bedrooms. Then we added on 2 more rooms, a kitchen and another bedroom.
When you moved up to Cedar Creek, how did you know which land was open and which was already taken?
When we lived there in the canyon, working at that sawmill, there's another family lived there by the name of Wells. And Mr. Wells and I went up in the fall before. We've heard so much about that, this Cavendish and Cedar Creek country, that we thought we'd come to look it over, and we did, and we kind of picked out our homesteads.
You didn't need to use a homestead locator?
No.
Did the Wells end up moving down with you then too?
Yes, Wells moved in. My gosh, it was an awful brushy patch. He took up 160.
How come your father only took up 40?
Well, it happened to be right in the neighborhood, you know. And there wasn't much brush on it. It was late night, it was in a nice shape, it was a nice piece of land. But it was kind of buttered up. There was other places were taken all around it. But we happened to buy a way out. The father being of such a weak heart, why we didn't want to stick ourselves in too much of a brush patch.
Isn't it kind of a strange thing for a man with a weak heart to go out and start a homestead?
It took a lot of courage, I'll tell you.
Why do you think most people were homesteading at that time?
Well, all the places and prairie farms, they were all homesteaded. Just like that reservation when it opened. Well, it's all homesteaded. There's a Nez Perce Reservation, the Camas Prairie Reservation, all open for homestead. Why they wanted them all settled up by whites is a mystery to me yet. They'd better left that with the Indians.
Well, what would cause most people to want to be homesteaders?
What is what?
What would cause a person to want to be a homesteader? Why would a person want to leave the things they knew and go out and be a homesteader in a strange land?
Well, some for different reasons. Some on account of a change of climate. Perhaps it's better for their health. Now, like father, with that weak heart, of course, the change was better for him. The home we had back east was a whole township of this country.
The home you had back east was worth the whole township of this country?
It was for living and things. Yes, I can make living on it so much easier.
Well, why did you choose to leave then?
Well, there was only the three of us in the family. There was father and myself and mother. And I couldn't go away and leave father in the condition he was in. And I stayed with both of them until they passed away. Never married till afterwards.
So you kind of helped your father prove up on his place too?
Oh, yes.
Well, did you build a house on your place also?
Yes, I built a log house on that. Was no lumber around. Had to build a log house and a log barn. I cleared up some land on it. And then I didn't have it more than a year or two till father passed away, and that left mother alone. I had to stay there with mother most of the time, and so I sold up the homestead.
You sold off your homestead?
Uh-huh.
How much did you get for it?
Not very much. It's about enough to prove up on it, if I wanted to prove up.
Did quite a few other people move into the Cedar Creek area at the same time you did?
Most of that country was taken up. There was a big settlement in there at the time we went in. And they kept proving up. And mortgaging this J.P. Vollmer, have you heard of him?
Yes.
He take mortgages on all those places for backing for his bank. And they go down to Lewis and prove up and mortgage the place. And away they go.
They just leave?
The country was well settled when we first went in there, and 5 years later There was just a few of us settlers in there.
What happened to everybody else?
Well, they proved up, mortgaged and left. Didn't want to clear all that land.
Well, why would they homestead in the first place if they didn't want to clear all that land?
For a fortune. Just as thought they could sell out for a big price. And it didn't prove so good.
Well, your neighbors who stayed, what were they like?
How was that?
What were your neighbors like, the ones who stayed? What kind of people were they?
They were good people, good neighbors. They all come from different countries, some from Texas, Arkansas, Illinois.
Did they all have different reasons for coming?
I suppose, I don't know. There was people there, know, from all different nations gathered there, and they never asked one another any questions. It was, they just neighbored, and that was all. It was none of my business what my neighbor was into before, or what he'd done, or how he lived, or anything. They seemed to be all really nice.
Well, did you become friends with them later? Did you become friends with them later?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you remember the names of your neighbors? Of specific neighbors of yours?
Well, there are some of them. Are you acquainted with Evie and Kendrick?
Some, yes.
You know the Longs?
Uh-huh.
Well, they had a homestead up there.
Mr. Long was a meat cutter, wasn't he? Mr. Long was a meat cutter, wasn't he?
Afterwards, yes. The oldest boy, Jody.
Well, when they were on Cedar Creek, was he a homesteader?
Yes, he had a homestead there on Cedar Creek, and some of them boys were born there. There were four boys, and I don't know, one or two of them were born there. I believe this Marvin that's living there in Kendrick now was born there. And maybe one just before him.
Did Long have a pretty nice homestead?
Yes, pretty good homestead. He built a pretty good house on it, and I guess it brought a pretty good price too at that time, $4,000 or $5,000. The party that bought it last, I don't know how they got mixed up with the kids, they went to Kendrick to school and lived there at home and went down on the in the truck And when some or another, the house caught fire and burnt out. And it's a wreck now. That's funny there, there's three pretty good buildings was burnt down up there in that country. That's on the Wells place, there was a cellar and woodshed that was pretty good, and the house is in pretty good shape, and it burnt. And then on the Kramer place, was an awful good frame house there with a basement, and it burnt. And then now this here old place of Long's, it burned. They were all about, if you could, if it wasn't for the timber, you could see the places. Long's place and Kramer place, you could see the house, one house and the other. But they had cleared up that much land. But the Willis place was back further, you couldn't see it.
Were most of the homesteaders single men or married men?
No, married men.
Did most of them bring their families with
them? To take what was left.
Were they of different nationalities too, from different countries?
No, I don't know. Oh yes, I guess there were. Were Germans, Irish, English.
Do you think most of the homesteaders were pretty religious people?
Yes, Long's was quite religious. Wells was quite religious. But there's a few in there that Thompson and Hout. And some of those, a few others, they wasn't very religious. We'd have church once in a while in the old schoolhouse.
Would most people attend church, whether they were religious or not, or whether they belonged to a different kind of church or not?
Well, they might have belonged to different churches, but they all attended whenever they could get a preacher in the schoolhouse there. Why, the neighbors would all turn out and help. I had Sunday school. There's nothing like that going on there now.
Do you remember when Governor Stunenberg was killed?
Yeah.
What was people's reaction around here like?
Well, you couldn't get the sentiment of most of the people. They were pretty quiet about it. Mr. Stenenberg was, some of them didn't believe in that, the way Stenenberg treated those miners. Had them in the bullpen there. Of course, they blowed up that mine, wrecked the whole thing.
Do you think most people sympathized with the miners or with the mine owners during that trouble?
Well, they didn't express their thoughts very much.
What did you think about it?
Well, the way I think is the way I think about all things that nobody has a right to blow up somebody else's property. I don't believe in that. I have no right to go over to your place and blow your house to pieces or your barns or anything, no more than than I want somebody to blow up the buildings I have. I don't believe in that. Do you? What do you think about it?
Oh, I don't believe in that either, but I my sympathies are kind of with the miners, with the workers, and rather than with the owners of the mines. But not counting the blowing up of the mine.
You don't believe in that?
No.
I didn't believe it.
How did you feel about the rest of what they were doing, the striking and trying to get better pay?
How was that?
How did you feel about the rest of what they were doing, the striking and trying to get better pay and things like that? Or how did you feel about how did you feel about the trial of the men who were accused of killing Stunenberg? Do you remember that trial?
I don't. Let's see. No, I didn't think much of that trial. They had a couple other men up for killing Stunenberg besides Orchard. Seems like they some way or another got stuck on the orchard altogether. I forget what them. There was two others, I believe.
Well, one of them was Big Bill Haywood.
Hmm?
One of them was Big Bill Haywood.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you think most people, most of the early settlers and the homesteaders felt about the law?
I never heard them express it.
Well, how did you feel about it?
Well, of course, the government had given the land away, why they ought to comply with the law.
It wasn't easy to have the laws enforced in that homestead country, though, was it?
No, they had no trouble. Anybody, I don't think that any contesting done. I think everybody complied pretty well with the law.
Well, like during Prohibition, weren't there quite a few moonshiners up there on Cedar Creek?
Oh, that Prohibition, that was a fake.
That was a fake?
Yeah. There's lots of moonshine. I worked for a fella that was making moonshine. I told him, I said, hide your thing and keep it away till we get through here. And then do your moonshining. I didn't like it.
You didn't like the moonshine?
No.
Why not?
Well, I don't think it's right. It's against the law, and people should abide by the law.
Do you think that moonshine law was about the worst law they've had around here, or have there been worse ones than that, or ones that were broken more than that one was?
I don't know how that didn't catch that just right.
Well, do you think that moonshine law was broken more than most laws, or were there other laws that they got broken as often as that one?
Well, I don't know about any others. But of course that moonshine was breaking the law, all right.
What would you do for fun? When you had a little spare time and you thought you might want to go do something, what would you do in the early days, around 1895, 1900, around in there?
Well, we all the spare time that we could gather up, we were burning out stumps or cleaning up the ground. I'll tell you, it's quite a job. Now we had one patch there of 5 acres. I had it in Timothy, and it was awful heavy. Timothy was way tall and heavy on the ground, and we had to save it on account of the stumps. We couldn't get no machine in there. That's blamed hard work. And then rake it up by hand. Even a small patch like 5 acres, some of that was heavy enough, looked like it would go about 3 tons to the acre. Lots of stuff you had piled, shock after shock. We had awful good crops at them times.
What kinds of crops did you grow?
Well, we grew wheat and oats.
Well, what would you do for fun? Would you go out and burn stumps for fun, or is that something else you do when you want to have a good time?
Burn stumps? We couldn't burn any, only the pines. They were pitchy enough to burn. And them others we had. I got one of the neighbors to come over. I had 5 acres there that I cut off and up, and I had it broke. And stumps was a darn sick on it. I couldn't do anything. And the neighbor, he was quite a man with this stump powder. So I got a box of stump powder and got him to blow them out. And he blew out a bunch of stumps from me. Looked like I was clearing land again. My, I had a mess on the ground.
About how many years of work would it take to bring a homestead up to where it was pretty comfortable?
Oh, that's different in different places. Some places where there were no red firs or white firs or anything like that to fool with, just the pine. You could burn them pines out and get quite a field in a short time. I'll take it across the canyon from us, over in what's called the Gold Hill country. That is, on that ground, it's principally more pine screw, and they just burn them pines are stumped out, and they had lots of clear land in a short time. But we couldn't do that. We had too many firs. And then first they rooted out for it. Looks to me, over an acre of ground.
How long did it take you to get your place pretty well fixed up?
Oh, it took quite a long time. I had to work out so much to make a living.
What kinds of work would you do when you worked out?
Well, I was out in harvest, going with the thrash machine. Plenty of 30 days. And then sometimes, and in the spring of the year, as soon as I got my crop in, I took my team and I worked on the road. I got $4 a day for that. I think I made $75 or $100 in this, after I got the crop in, working on the road, and then I went out and harvest.
What kind of work would you do on the road?
Grading. I had my team on the road, and it was just grading principal part of the time.
Would you follow the harvest around different parts of the county?
No, I went with a thrash machine and we get into our community and thrash that out and get into another community. That way I kind of got acquainted with the people and the country.
What town did you usually go to for supplies?
Oh, we had to go to Kendrick principally, and then Leland sprung up there, and they had a good store there at Leland, the Winters and Godsworth. They had a big store.
Winters and Godsworth?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like Leland more than Kendrick?
Well, it was just handier. We didn't have no grade to pull when we come home. We go down to go to Leland. We could buy just about as cheap at Leland as we could at Kendrick, and we didn't have that grade to pull coming home. That time, that grade from Cedar Creek down to Kendrick was a holy fright. Yeah.
Did many people have trouble on that grade?
Oh, yes. Sometimes it was so bad it took four horses to pull in the wagon back up.
How does it feel to be 105 years old?
Feels like you're worth nothing.
Feels like what?
Yeah.
Feels like what?
Feels like you're worthless. Better be dead.
No. You've lived through such a remarkable period of time.
Yes. I even got so important that I got a letter from the president, Nixon.
Uh-huh.
A personal letter.
Huh. What did he have to say?
Oh, he congratulated me, you know, and talked about if we had lots such citizens, we'd have a good country. And oh, he made a nice, wrote me a nice letter. One of my friends has to read the letter to me. She keeps the letter. If I had the letter here, I'd let you read it. But I wouldn't know who, if they laid it away from me, I wouldn't know where it was. I couldn't see it. Tell you, when a person is blind, it's just same as nothing. It's the most disagreeable thing I ever witnessed.
What do you think stands out most in your life? What do you think has been the most important thing in your life over the past 100 years?
I don't know. Has anything that's one thing more important than another. I think it's all about the same.
When the changes were happening, you know, like the changes from the horse to the car and the car to, or the, you know, horse to steam and steam to car and all those sorts of things, Did they seem like they happened real fast, or did it seem like it happened pretty slow?
Well, Trent, I don't know, hardly. In some ways, this change, maybe it's all right. But the way it's going now, I'm afraid they're going to have trouble. Everything is getting so unmerciful high, unreasonable high. When I first landed down Cedar Creek, when Cleveland was president, you could buy a good cow for $12. Here lately, I heard some of them say that they got $150 for a common cow. Beefsteak is out of sight. Pork, you'll never see any. I haven't had a bite of pork since I left Alma Betris. That I recognize this pork.
What do you remember as being the happiest period of your life?
It's about when I was 16, 17, I guess.
Why would you say that time?
Well, after that, you got 18, 20, I had to dig in. I worked like the Dickens.
Were you glad that you moved west?
No. I'd rather remain where I was. I kind of liked to farm, and out west we had no chance for farming, and back east we did. If I didn't have enough ground, I could rent a few acres from the neighbor. Lots of times I rented 30 or 40 acres from the neighbor for corn. I was cultivating work that and had the home place and grain.
That was back in Missouri?
Hmm?
That was back in Missouri?
Mm-hmm.